Thank you very much, Mr. Wes Tuttle. Okay, the Gospel of John. Gospel of John 14. Well, what did y'all think of the video last night? Good, yeah. It's very informative. And people that have been there are really impressed. And there's a place that is just a few miles north of there that could tie in with it. And we'll take a look at Basra next week, not on video, but just talk about it as continuing a place that they could go. And the Jews could run to that God had prepared, and it's really impressive. And we were talking afterward that, well, if they know about it, why don't they do something about it, bomb it? But you got to realize that even the Jews are not aware of prophecy, like we are. You know more by watching that last night than most Jews, and that. I can just bear almost say every Jew that's not a Christian Jew, and of course the Arabs and all don't even pay any attention to prophecy,
don't care.
So these places are just sitting there, for God's plan to be fulfilled, if indeed that's where they're going to go, so prophecy is just something right now that is not important until you need it. Then when you need it, and to get out of town, but get out of Jerusalem, get out of Judah. So it's really interesting stuff that's happening in history. This seems to be molding closer and closer. It could be another 1,000 years. It could be another hour. And so, yes, sir. I'm sorry?
What year was it made?
The VCR that we watched last night, I'm not sure, but I think it's at least 8 years old.
Okay.
I think it was made in 2000, but I can check.
It's not a big deal. I just kind of curious.
I don't know if it says on here. It probably doesn't say.
National Geographic had an excellent article on the
year. On Petra?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it doesn't say on the box what year, but I could call and find out and when and where that was. But it's really interesting stuff in that respect of what's happening and what is about to happen in history. Okay, talked to Paul Hess a little bit ago, and Bill Hess is feeling much better right now. He had a very rough Monday, Tuesday. But there are going to be days like that. He'll have good days and he'll have bad days. But it was interesting. Paul said that Bill now is able to know something's wrong even with his thinking. He cannot sometimes complete a sentence, and he's aware of that. And it reminded me of the thing between old age and Alzheimer's. Old age, you forgot where you left your keys. Alzheimer's, you forgot that you even needed keys. So at least Bill is aware that something's wrong. And so he has that, and he knows where he is and these kinds of things. So we'll just continue to be in prayer for Bill, for Paul, for Tyson, Gail, and for the children, grandchildren, in-laws, and everyone that's involved with Bill Hess. It's very draining on them now. It's been going on for quite a while. At this point, I don't think so. I don't know what it would be, because he's just lying there. And so maybe if and when he goes home, then we can certainly make ourselves available as stewards should. So that'd be good. Let's see. Vic Edwards called, and he has a lot of prayer requests in regard to people in his life, and we need to remember Vic and his family and friends. Let's see. Please be in prayer for Nancy Becker as she continues to decide and find out what's going on with her pain. Please be in prayer for Nathan, who continually needs our prayers. Let's be in prayer for Amber. Let's be in prayer for Wes and Sharon as they prepare to go away and on a long journey to Japan, and just do come back. And so come back and see us. And we need to be in prayer for Tish. She got a report back, and it is cancer in three different places. And they're all three places are cancerous. And so now it is a decision-making time. And I had a long talk with Rod, and so I got a long talk going with you. And so we got you all taken care of. If you listen to us, people just don't listen to us. Believe we're what?
With my plan.
Oh, well, that's what I say. Nobody listens to us. Everybody's got their own plan, and we try to get there before everybody else gets their other plan in. But any other prayer requests? I'm not aware of. Yes, sir. Yes. Be in prayer for Betty Soup. It's a wonderful lady, a member of our assembly, listens more than probably a lot of people that come on Sunday, and just one of us, one of our members. We need to be in prayer for Betty. About how old is Betty Soup? 86. So we need to be in prayer for Betty. And did you have a prayer request?
I've been hearing from Kelsey about the last 2 weeks, and she needs our prayers.
Okay. Kelsey, a young gal, y'all might remember, is come every now and then during the week, once in a while on Sunday. Just a lovely gal. I'm so sorry for the journey that she has to go on, and she's chosen to go on it, but I'm still sorry about it. And I just pray that God will take her to where He took the prodigal son. Just finally take her to some place where they wake up and say, "Hey, I don't like the way I smell. I need to get somewhere where it's better." And so that's, we just need to be in prayer. And what I'm thankful for is that she still calls and talks with you. You're her link right now with God. And somehow she knows that. She may not word it that way, but that's her link with God. And that to me is still hope. That's that little door of hope that is there. So we will definitely be in prayer for Kelsey. Edna. You know Edna. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I know Edna. Edna, if you ever listen to this, just ignore this. Good.
He looked at her knee, and he just reconfirmed what the emergency room said. It's not broke, but he told her that it was going to take 5 to 6 months for her knee to heal.
The knee? Yeah. Boy, the knee is just so intricate, what God built there. It's so phenomenal when you think of all the things a knee does and can take, but it's just, okay, we'll be in prayer for Edna and her knee. And well, we, Rod and I got some good stuff for you, so yeah. Will she take it? Okay. Well, let's begin with a word of prayer. A home thou hast prepared for us. How wonderful it is, Heavenly Father, to know that we have living quarters for all eternity taken care of, designed by You, prepared by You, so we know they're going to be perfect. What an awesome God You are. What an awesome Son You have. To let us know these things, You didn't have to. But you just let us know to give us comfort, and no matter what happens in this life, that we're going to go home. There's an actual home there. How wonderful that is. I pray, Father, as we examine the passages tonight, that your Spirit will just lead us and guide us. Pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, last week we were on heaven. What do you think about when you think about heaven? And not heaven on earth, but I'm talking about heaven after death. What do you think about how it's going to be? And this is where we start. Do you think of a place? Do you think of a person? And we noted under point two that heaven is a place. It's a real place. It's not imaginary, abstract. It's a real place that our resurrected body, which will be, I'll use the word physical, meaning in the sense that we can understand physical, but it's a different kind of physics. It's a physics that can go through walls, but it is structure. It has a dimension, and the face can be recognized. And so we have a real place. Then we noted under point three, heaven is a real place. It is the abode of God. And that's where we left off, loading a number of passages where it is the abode of God. And now we come to point four. Point four deals with the plural that's used in Scripture. Scripture speaks of at least three heavens. So there are three concepts of heaven when we think of this word. There is the first heaven, and this is the atmosphere immediately around the earth. And for the record, this is the dwelling place of the birds and the beasts of the air and the clouds, Matthew 5:45, Deuteronomy 28:23. So that's the first heaven. Then there is the second heaven. This is the expanse between the waters. This is the area of the outer space, of galaxies, the spatial extension of where the stars are set. It includes a solar system of which we're part of. We can actually see into that this realm of the second heaven when we look in the stars. And it's a tremendous study. John has done a lot of work with the study of the scriptures and astrology, and gave us a little shot of that when he came here a couple of years ago, several years ago. So we can see this expanse. Charlie Brown was talking one night as he looked at the stars, and he said, you know, you got to realize Charlie Brown has very low self-esteem. So he said, this is the one place I really feel stable and secure. Is just, you just know that when you go out, they're all going to be there, and they're all so stable. And about that time, a falling star occurred. and the last little frame was, he just had this very disillusioned look on his face, like, well, there goes that. But so this is the area. Let's note a few things. Sub point one, the function of keeping of time. The function of keeping of time or chronological seasons are related to the earth, day, seasons, years. All of these things are related to the second heaven. Second subpoint, the abode of the angels in the spiritual warfare. Fallen and elect can move from the first into the second, and as we'll see, sometime even into the third heaven. Subpoint three, just for your knowledge and record, the second heaven becomes important in prophecy. The second heaven becomes important in prophecy at the second advent. Signs and wonders and miracles, many of which we've already seen, many of which we have yet to still see. So all of this is yet to take place. Then there is the third heaven. The third heaven. This one's exciting. The first heaven's important to us. The second heaven's important to us. The third heaven is not only important to us, it is exciting. So much in dealing with the third heaven. This is the abode of God. Now, we can talk of terms of God in omnipresence. God is everywhere present. in the omnipresent concept. All space is the abode of God. But the third heaven is the place of the throne of God. This is where God brings himself to the point where he can work with, deal with, relate to creation and created beings. So this is the throne of God where he can be personally found in that sense. Let's start by looking at Deuteronomy 26:15. Deuteronomy 26:15. Deuteronomy 26:15. Okay, Jim's found it. And not yet. 26:15. Look down from thy holy habitation from heaven. There's so much there. Look down at the earth from thy holy habitation. So it's where he lives, or that's where he is. It's holy. And then it says, from heaven, and bless thy people, Israel, and the ground which thou hast given us. Boy, there's just so much here. And I'm not here to do it. I just want to show you the thing. But if you see the contrast, heaven and ground, do you see that? Heaven, ground, there's the expanse of heaven. Here we are in this little ground on earth that he's given to us, which thou hast given us, a land flowing with milk and honey, as thou didst swear to our fathers. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles 6. 2 Chronicles 6. Second Chronicles 6, a vital study to the issues of heaven and the omnipresence of God and the place of his dwelling of throne. This is if we were really studying the heavens, not just so much our dwelling place, but heavens, we would have to spend some time on this one. But let's look at Second Chronicles chapter 6, and we'll read 18 through 21. Great passage of Scripture. But will God indeed dwell with mankind on the earth? Behold, heaven and the highest heaven, third heaven, cannot contain thee. How much less this house which I have built, the temple. Yet have regard to the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to listen to the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prays before thee, that thine eyes may be open toward this house day and night, toward the place of which thou hast said that thou wouldst put thy name there, to listen to the prayer which thy servant shall pray toward this place, and listen to the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel when they pray toward this place. Hear thou from thy dwelling place, from heaven. There's so much here, because he first of all gives you the concept that God is going to hear this prayer from the temple, doesn't he? We're going to pray toward this place, the temple. But look what he says. But hear it from thy dwelling place, from heaven. Hear thou and forgive. It's a very powerful prayer passage in dealing with so many concepts and dealing with the issue of the dwelling of God on earth, in heaven, in the third heaven, all of these kinds of things in that respect. But I'm just getting it to you that he's in this third heaven, and people, that's where your place is. It's where your home is. Now, let's look at Psalm 11. Psalm 11. This study ought to interest you, even though I say it's a study. It's just going to be part of tonight. But this is where we're all going. Want to know where you're going? This is where you're going. Psalm 11, and let's look at verse 4. The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids test the sons of men. Okay, so the main thing we want to look at, the Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. So this is His abode. Look at Psalm 20, please. Psalm 20. Psalm 20. I just got to remind you, this is where we're going to go to heaven. And of course, there's a great old country song, if you don't go to heaven, at least come to Texas. And maybe as close as I get, but this is where we're all going to go, is we're going to go to these places we're reading, this place we're reading about. Psalm 20, verse 6. Now I know that the Lord saves His anointed. Actually delivers. He will answer him from His holy heaven with the saving strength of His right hand, Jesus Christ. Okay. This is why we addressed our prayers to God who's in heaven. There's a sense in which God is omnipresent, but we pray, we're talking to, He's at that throne. And like the psalmist said, just pray that while you're in your throne, that you hear the prayer of your servant right here in my home, wherever you are, and hear the prayer from where He is in heaven. This is the one of the wonders of the Christian life is prayer, that we can pray to God who is in that place. Look at Psalm 33, please. Psalm 33. Psalm 33. And we'll just read 13 and 14. Psalm 33, 13 and 14. The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From His dwelling place, He looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. So this is a picture of what God is just looking. Now I want to also remind you as we go through this, who lust to go to that throne in heaven and rule there? Satan. This is where he just hungers to be and to dwell. And people, you're going to get there. You're just going to get there, and you're so below him in creation. And yet you and I will go where he desires to be. Satan desires so much to be in the third heaven. Look at Isaiah 14, please. Isaiah 14. Sometimes you look at familiar passages, but with a different, from a different view, and you just see things differently and more. Not so much different, but more. And that's there. All right, Isaiah 14. Let's look at 13 and 14. But you, Satan, said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God, that's angels. I will sit on the mount of the assembly, that's in the third heaven, in the recesses of the north, that's where God's throne is. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But look at verse 15. Nevertheless, you will be thrust down. He desires to be at the throne up there in heaven, but you will be thrown down to Sheol, to the recesses of the pit. How he longs to be ruling in heaven, but he will be cast into the lower depths of Sheol. Now what is so phenomenal in this conflict is at the very place where Satan rebelled, actually, to rise to. Jesus Christ, a member of the human race, is exalted to that place. And people, you will be also. This is phenomenal stuff. This is not just thinking of heaven when I die. Think of the whole concept that's going on. This is where you will be exalted. You, a lowly member of the human race, and you're, all these things that Satan wants, you get it. Just because you believe in Jesus Christ. Not because you're good, bad, or indifferent, but because you believe in Christ, you're going to be exalted to this place and dwell in the very place Satan rebelled against God to dwell. We will end up there simply by faith. This entire understanding of heaven is another vital part in the conflict between God and Satan that we've not really touched on. We've not touched on this aspect of the warfare between God and Satan dealing with heaven. Satan is just rebels to sit in the third heaven and be there. Look at Isaiah 65, please. Isaiah 65. See, if we had PowerPoint, I could just push it up there and it would be up there, but we could learn where the Bible, books are, places are in the Bible. I think if this thing continues, more and more churches have it and they do that, people will know where things are in the Bible. And it's just nice to know where things are in the Bible. Isaiah 65, 15. Isaiah 65, verse 15. And you will leave your name for a curse to my chosen ones, and the Lord God will slay you. Wait a minute. Is that what I wanted? Isaiah 60. Oh, I'm sorry. The computer was right. My eyes were wrong. 63:15. I didn't think that looked like what I had read in the Hebrew. All right. Isaiah 63:15. Oh, boy, it looks different in English. All right. Isaiah 63:15. Look down from heaven and see thy holy and glorious habitation. Where are thy seal and thy mighty deeds? The stirrings of thy heart and thy compassion are restrained toward me. Look at Jeremiah. Let's go to Jeremiah 25. Jeremiah 25. Jeremiah 25:30. Therefore, you shall prophesy against them all, against them all, with these words. And you shall say to them, the Lord will roar from on high and utter his voice from his holy habitation. Now, if you think about what are we looking at in Revelation, where are a lot of the visions that John sees, where do they take place? In heaven. So he's right there at the throne. He's taken, however the Spirit did this, he's taken to this place, right to the throne. The Lord will roar from on high and utter his voice from the holy habitation. He will roar mightily against his foe. He will shout like those who tread the grapes. Against all the inhabitants of the earth. That's what we're studying in Revelation. Okay, let's go back now to our study. The third heaven. In the third heaven is the throne of God. It is where the courtroom of heaven is. This is the place for the judicial setting of the spiritual warfare. We've seen that if the one thing you want to do in just grasping the Bible is to always remember the Bible reveals the being, a supreme being, God. It also reveals supernatural beings, angels, and it is set in the framework of a judicial setting, courtroom setting. And this is taking place at the throne of God. This is the place for the trying of judicial cases. This is where the original trial took place in heaven in eternity past. The earth in this solar system was designated as the proving ground for that case. This means that the invisible warfare not only occurs on this earth, but is also related very strongly with the third heaven. The battleground is here on earth, but I want to tell you something, people. Please remember, let me just make this in your mind. We'll see when we get going. There's also a battleground in heaven. We're going to see, we get back to Revelation 12 on Tuesday night, that the Archangel Michael is going to battle with Satan and his angels, and they're going to be cast to the earth. But there's a battle that's going to occur in heaven. That's got to be awesome. That's got to be awesome. Now, we will be topside. I just hope that God, I mean, we can do it. I hope that God's made a video of all this stuff, a DVD of all this stuff through history. And so that we can go to the big library and see the original creation, see restoration, see the Ice Age, and see it all actually take place. That'd be cool. That'd be really cool. Who knows if we'll even care about it. But, now, we saw in Job 1, this is where the angels appeared before God. Remember that? In Revelation 12, this is where Satan goes and accuses the brethren. We've looked at that passage night and day. This is where he goes. It's where we're talking about. It's where Satan's strategy against every believer on earth takes place at that scene. Satan attacks, accuses believers, and he goes to the third heaven to do this. Satan's heavenly strategy is to accuse and discredit believers down here. What actually provokes the great battle between Michael and the angels and Satan and his angels? Michael will lead his angels, and then Satan will lead his angels. And I'm not really sure. We're not exactly told, but we can do a lot of summation about it. But once God just going to say, we've had enough of you, and there's going to be a battle, and that's when Michael throws him down to earth, and we'll get into that. We noted recently in Ezekiel 3, this courtroom scene where Satan is next to Joshua, and the courtroom scene takes place. Point five. The house of God. The house of God is in the third heaven. This does not mean that God wholly dwells there. God is omnipresent. But the third heaven is the real location, a real place that headquarters the worship of God. This is where His throne exists. This is the place of worship. This is a very important place in the study of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews. It's a very important study. And look at Revelation 11:19. Revelation 11:19. Let's read that one together. Revelation 11:19. And the temple of God, which is in heaven. So this is where God is worshipped in heaven, was opened, and the ark of His covenant appeared in His temple. And there were flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder and the earthquake and the great hailstorm. By the way, I didn't do much talking last night because we had the film, and that was about a full hour. But yeah, those of you that are here, if you remember Petra, one of those cave buildings that were inside is where the Raiders of the Lost Ark took place. Yeah. I meant to say that last night, but a lot of the scenes of the Raiders of the Lost Ark took place in that area and right in Petra, in one of those indented caves, indented buildings, rooms and stuff. So when I saw the flashing and the lightning, it reminded me of that scene, and that's where they put it all up. So that's the thing. Okay, point six: the third heaven is the location of the heavenly holy of holies. The third heaven is the location of the heavenly holy of holies. Jesus Christ, in His resurrected body, after crucifixion, after resurrection, in His resurrected body, ascended through the clouds, through the first and second heaven, to the third heaven, where He sat down in the holy of holies. All right, let's take a look at Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9. James and I have talked a lot about just having a night where we read through various books. And you know, I still would like to do that, maybe do that. I was talking to John Hens about different things in our studies and all. And one of my, and it is a problem, I think, maybe not, and taking so long, is that people, you sit down to study the gospel studies we're doing, Romans, Revelation, and John, and this is not a brag of mine, it's just, I've been so trained to bring out so much. I feel like if I just got up here and we were to read through, I would feel just very, that I've just done a very inadequate job. And I'm not sure, and John says no, and I'm not sure what the deal is, but I'm so thankful to God that I have been trained in the Greek and Hebrew. Not many men use that anymore, and I know that. Even in the camp that I came out of, they don't use it much. A lot of the pastors that were trained don't. I know that. But I'm thankful for my training. And I'm thankful for to sit in my office and open the text and let the Holy Spirit open things and do some word studies and do some grammatical studies and do some things like that and then go other places. I'm very thankful. And I just got to share with you things that I see. And I don't know if one is so much better than the other, but I'm very thankful for that ability. But Hebrews would be a book that I would love to have and just for us to read through. It's the glory of Christ. This book is just so much about Jesus Christ. It's so powerful a book. But look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands. Now this is Jesus, the humanity of Jesus, when he had ascended to heaven and seated. Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. What a phenomenal place. Phrase, by our passage. He's there for us. You have a rep. You have a personal rep right there. Just putting it in the terms we can understand. He's our lobbyist. And if you understand history of lobbying, it's very important. But he's right there. And he's appealing our case, and he intercedes for us. That's what he's there for. Look at the passage. I love it. For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one. That's the earth one's a copy of the true one. But into heaven itself, it's a third heaven, to appear in the presence of God. So here's a member of the human race, one of us, in the presence of God, and he's there for us. For our advantage, intercede for us, answer our prayers, take our prayers, get us a place prepared, send us the Holy Spirit, all these wonderful things that he's there for. We have our own lobbyist. It is so, y'all know where the word lobbyist came from? I forgot the president, but he was accustomed to going down, it'll come to me as I talk, I think, and he loved to smoke cigars, and he would sit in a hotel lobby right down from the White House in the lobby and smoke his cigars, and people would come in and sit and talk to him. Now, I think we need to do this, and think we need to do that. And they became known as lobbyists in the lobby. They would lobby in the lobby, start lobbying for things they wanted him to do. And they would all just sit around and smoke cigars. Well, I don't think God and Jesus Christ are smoking cigars. No offense, Steve. But they are. He's lobbying for us. He's talking. He's there for our advantage. This to me is so beautiful. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 before I really get weird. All right, Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 10. Ephesians 4, verse 10. He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. So this is a departure of Christ, who at this very moment, you want to know where Jesus Christ is at this very moment? He's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God at this temple. So Jesus Christ is there in his resurrected body. He told us where he is. I love the sensitivity of Christ and of God. We were not left in a mystery. I wonder where he is. We know where he is. We know what he's doing. God didn't have to tell us that. We're not that important. How many times you ask your parents when you're growing up, it's because I said so. Oh, okay. And that was good enough. But God says, this is what's going on. And he let us know so many wonderful things. And this is where we're going to dwell. Major point 7. Supernatural beings, angels, exist in all three of the heavens. And this includes the third heaven. And this includes both fallen and elect angels. They travel through the first and second heaven in order to get to the third heaven where the court scene is, the court area is. And there's a lot of activity there going on between God and Satan and God and the angels, as we saw in Job 1. And this is until the middle of the tribulation. And in the middle of the tribulation, a great war is going to break out. Satan and his demons are going to be banished from heaven, from this area. People, he aspired to go there. He lusts to go there. He fought to go there. He fights to stay there. And he's going to be thrown out. And you're going to go. This is just phenomenal. Point 8. The invisible spiritual warfare which we are involved in on earth is against the powers of Satan and his forces that are related to the third heaven, to all three heavens, in fact. Ephesians 6:12. Just want you to know that the heavens are so important to us. It's not just a matter of a romantic night going out looking at the stars and the moon. It's an actual place, the things going on there. Point 9. The third heaven is extremely important to believers in the church age, right now. 1, this is the place of your second birth. This is where you're from. This is where you're from. Where are you from? Well, I'm from Hollywood, California. Where are you from? Well, I'm from here, from there. Where are you from? We're from heaven. We're from the heaven, the third heaven. We're born from above, John 3:3. In our first birth, we're from the cosmos. In our second birth, we're from heaven, the third heaven. This is where your real citizenship is, people. It's how important this place is for you. This is your real citizenship. We are ambassadors for Christ from heaven to earth. But our citizenship is in heaven. So, this is where you're from. Get this in your mindset. The only way I can know how to make it real quick is, and I was in Germany. I lived in Germany, but I'm a visitor there. In one sense, an ambassador, but a visitor. This isn't where I'm from. And as I've told you before, it puts it into a wonderful perspective of not getting so wrapped up in things. I didn't get wrapped up in that I didn't have my own car. And I didn't get wrapped up in that I didn't have my own clothes. And I didn't have this, and I didn't have that. And my bed was about maybe 6 inches wider than I was. And it was just a small little bed. And I didn't have designer sheets and designer blankets. They were green. And it didn't matter. This wasn't where I belonged. I was an ambassador there. I was in the military there. My citizenship is at home, over in America. Well, people, this should be our mindset on earth. This isn't where we're from. So we had the things of the earth, fine. We don't have the things of the earth. So what? This isn't where I am. I'm from there. And that's where we're going to go. That's really helped me in a mindset. And I hope it helps some of you. If things ever happen, it doesn't matter what we have or don't have on earth. We're just here as ambassadors. We're visitors here. We're aliens. So we're going to go home. So that's a very important part This is the place of our birth, our citizenship. Secondly, this is all the place from where all of our blessings come. This is the place from where all of our blessings come. Ephesians 1:3, Colossians 1:5. Answers to prayers. Three, the third heaven is also the place of our spiritual position, our glory, right now, Ephesians 2:6. Ephesians 2:6, let's just read it, it says right here. And raised up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. People, right now, this is the place of your position, spiritual position. This is where your glory is. Four, finally, this is the place where Christ is preparing your home. This is the place prepared for you, a dwelling place. We do not need to fear death. We do not need to fear what happens after death. We do not need to fear life. We do not have to have our hearts troubled about things on earth. You're going to go home. And when I do funerals sometime, I'll talk about that, how death is not a bad thing. We're going to go home. We're not afraid to go home. We want to go home. This is where love is. And so please remember these four things. It's where you're from. It's your citizenship. It's where your birth is, your citizenship. This is the place where your blessings come. Answers to prayer. This is the place, our spiritual position. And finally, this is where your home is. Now let's go back to John 14. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. It's unfortunate, but many people do not even believe in heaven. We do. It is the part of our eternal hope. We can talk about eternal life, but people, what value is eternal life if I don't have that eternal position or place to be? And it's going to be in heaven. It's the place where our Savior is right now in His resurrected body. So why is this comfort? Remember, He's comforting them. Let not your heart be troubled. So in my Father's house are many dwelling places. One, heaven is a real place. Heaven is a real place for us. That's comfort. Heaven, secondly, heaven is not only a real place, it's home. That's comfort. That's comfort. I know it breaks down if you've had a horrible home life. I know that. And to those people, I feel sorry because it's like using the term our Heavenly Father. Unfortunately, to a lot of people, their father is not a good memory. Their father is not a good thing. And so that breaks down. But the concept, for so many of us, and the Father is just a wonderful concept. Home is a wonderful thing. I'm going to go home. I know that I always called home, up until just a few years ago, I called home where my mother lived. That I don't know why I did that. I said, well, I'm going to go home. Somebody, where are you going this week? I'm going to go home. Where are you going for Christmas? Well, I'm going to go home. And that was home. And now that she's dead, I guess I don't have a home. I don't know. But home is a wonderful place. And that's home. That's why it's comfort. All I'm saying to you here is, this is why it's comfort. Are many dwelling places. The word are here is a present active indicative. Absolute status quo. I me. This is existence. And please don't miss the many. Please don't miss the many. Many dwelling places. Principle, there's room for all. There's room for you. There's room for all. There's room for you. It's not limited space. It's unlimited. Well, he only has so many places, and you better get it in there quickly. No, it is not that. He only has 144,000, and after that, he doesn't have any more. You'll have to live in a tent out on the beach. So, no, it's not the way it is. It's unlimited space, and there's a place for you. Dwelling places in God's house. Many dwelling places. Dwelling place. Well, I see this is going to take me on a whole other track, so we'll start here next Wednesday night, and on the dwelling place. We'll take a look at your place. You might, people wonder about it. So do you have an individual bungalow, condo, mansion, or just an old shack. And, you know, the of course, the humorous line is, who cares as long as I'm there? And but we'll take a look at the dwelling place. To me, this is fun stuff. This is so comforting. This is where we're going to go home. And when you really think about it all, no matter what happens, if you get your mindset on this passage, you just smile. I'm going home. And this is going to be great. And so let's close in a word of prayer. Father, again, what an awesome God you are. You created us. You designed the way we think. And we think in terms of a place to sleep, a place to lay down. Just all through history, a cave, some kind of covering home. And you did that so that all through Scripture, you could give us comfort of a heavenly home, a heavenly, eternal home. What peace, what comfort, what a God. We praise you in your Son's precious name. Amen.